episode of Give Us the Launch Codes. I am your co-anchor, Tom Flores.
Hi, I'm Travis Baker. Not Barker, Baker. There's no second R there.
This will be one of many episodes we plan on releasing onto the world. And basically, it's two best friends just wanting to talk about current events, the world, everything and anything happening, because let's be honest, this is just some nutty times.
I assure you, we are nobodies. You have no idea who we are. You have absolutely no reason to give us any credibility whatsoever. And that is why we believe we'll be the best ones to have the nuclear launch codes and do this better than everyone else who does.
Exactly. The whole point of this is basically you're listening to two dudes at a bar with food and beer, and you're overhearing us. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it, because right now I'm having a beer and I'm eating food.
You might hear some nom 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 nom. Oh, and Tom just had bubbles in his beer.
I drank it. So yeah, so we're gonna just get started, and we will start simply with the local news right here in our beautiful Southern California.
Yeah, and by Southern California, we mean Los Angeles and Orange County. Go fuck yourself, San Diego. Fuck the Padres.
They still are a whale's vagina. So, to start it off with the local news, this past Saturday on February 1st, police officers shot and killed an armed homicide suspect near Newport Beach.
Does that normally happen near Newport Beach?
I don't think so, because it's Newport Beach.
Oh, okay. So you just hear they shot and killed somebody, and like, isn't that just a Tuesday for the police?
Maybe in LA County, but the OC County, we're nicer than you. But yeah, no, apparently, yeah, it was an armed homicide suspect, and they killed him next to the pier. In beautiful OC. Mm. Close to 300 Santa Ana Unified employees are to be laid off. The SAUSD school board blames declining enrollment and the loss of pandemic relief funds.
I hope it's more the declining enrollment, because I hate to think that, like, you're going to have teachers with, like, 50 students per class. That would be unacceptable.
Do you remember how many classmates you had in elementary school, like, at the most? Do you remember at all?
It had to have been, like, 20.
I think I was at most 26.
You know, the funny thing is I still have my yearbooks that I got in elementary school, so I could go check right now.
I do, too. That's the thing. Mom was like, you're getting one. I'm like, it's sixth grade, though, Mom. You're getting one.
It's like back when, you know, it's like, and like the yearbooks, it's not like, oh, here's like all the fifth graders in alphabetical order. No. It's like organized per class. So it's like, here are the kids that had this teacher. Here are the kids that had this teacher. And that always, I remember when I got into middle school and I got the middle school yearbooks, and it didn't work like that because we actually changed class. That was like the first time we changed classrooms. Well,
we went to the same middle school, remember?
Yeah.
That?
Yeah. So it was like, oh, this doesn't identify who like my homeroom teacher is or whatever. No, I'm just bunched up to like next to some guy that I never had a class with that I was in the same grade with.
I think for us at our middle school, both of us went to McAuliffe Middle School. I think the most I had was maybe 30, maybe at most. Mm-hmm. And then I know high school, it just depended on what you did, because obviously, like, you know, I know you did choir, you had hundreds, technically, classmates.
Yeah, that's like different, though.
Yeah,
but
so
yeah,
high school doesn't count, but yeah, you're right. This could be like 50 students to a teacher, which is not good. That doesn't help anyone out.
That's why I'm really hoping the declining enrollment is a bigger factor.
Well, I hope also, too, they just don't get laid off.
Yeah. Yes. Although, from the sounds of it, it sounds like that's already happening. So.
Unfortunately. Hope all those employees are able to get work soon. Mm. And now, also finally, as we all know, that the Costco strike was looming. It has been averted with a tentative deal by the labor unions and Costco. So, seems like everything's back to normal so far.
was this gonna, is this like affecting all Costco's nationwide? Or?
Oh, no. So, which is interesting is, people think Costco has a union. Only certain buildings are a union. Overall, most Costco's don't run as a union at all. Very few do. I believe it's about a dozen across the whole company, worldwide, really. Most of it's all of it's in America, obviously. But overall, I think there's about 12 warehouses, maybe a little bit more, that are union buildings, quote-unquote. So that's been averted, which is good.
All right.
And what's happening in L.A. County, Travis?
Well, now that you mentioned that, you mentioned Costco, and it's very nice that the strikes didn't happen, which now leaves one remaining question. Where are my eggs, Tom? Where are the eggs? Because we went to, my wife and I, she went to grocery shopping at the Costco, and there's no eggs. And the last time I was there before then, there were no eggs. Where are the eggs, Tom?
So, interesting about it, doing a little research, I have heard that the egg, basically shortage, is due to a bird flu that had happened recently. And now that it's over and things are back up and running, lastly on the news it was said that it'll take about 6 to 9 months for production to get back up to par. So, basically for almost the rest of the year, there'll be a shortage for a while, and then everything will be basically kosher. So,
cool.
Yeah. Get to the warehouse in the first hour. Get your egg.
I'm good. I guess I'll just stick to protein drinks and bacon. I don't know.
Didn't your wife recommend yogurt and roast beef?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought she recommended. She is a health expert.
Wife's a nurse.
What else is happening in L.A. County?
In the L.A. We got this thing from the LAS. The city council considers proposals to protect unauthorized immigrants from deportation. Because that's a thing. You got these, Gestapo ICE agents just roaming around looking for brown people to stuff into vans and take them to detention centers and camps, of which Trump wants to build one in Guantanamo Bay. Now, I've seen a lot of my friends share, advice on what to say if you encounter an ICE agent, or rather what not to say, which is, often don't say anything. And instructions are what is a judicial warrant, what is not a judicial warrant, and it's all these things you can say to, avoid getting into legal trouble. And that sounds comforting and all, but there's also, something really scary, you have to be reliant on saying the right legalese words and just hope that they'll go away, which is the logic. It's Dora the Explorer logic. Oh, swiper's coming to steal all your shit. Well, just say swiper, no swiping 3 times like you're saying Bloody Mary in the mirror and just hope that swiper's just going to go, oh, man, and then walk away when really... Why the fuck would Swiper ever listen to you?
Well, to me also, too, from what you're telling me, it sounds like if you can say certain things to just not get in trouble, then pretty much a joke of a department, ICE, right?
Yeah, it's it's all, worrisome, because you're relying on the presumption that they're kind of doing things illegally or not within the bounds of the law, or at least not within the spirit of the law and the Bill of Rights. Well, it's okay... if they're not going according to law or whatever, or if we have to trust that they're not, expect that they're not, what makes us think the law is going to save us?
True. Anything else happening in beautiful L.A. County?
Well, this isn't really recent. This has sort of been a trend. The Dodgers seem to be signing all the best people, and everyone hates us for it. Even though, other teams are also... doing off-season work. It's just that the Dodgers made a lot of big signature signings. And, they're, one of the few teams that actually wants to spend money and make their team better.
Well, who do you guys have now?
So we signed Roky Sasaki and Blake Snell, and those were the two big signings that got everyone angry with us.
What positions will they be playing?
They're both pitchers. They're both...
Really?
Blake Snell is one of the best pitchers in baseball. And Roky Sasaki was one of the best. They're both two of the best pitchers in baseball. Just Roky Sasaki's never played in America before. He's like, he was like the big guy from Japan in the same way that like Shohei Ohtani was and Yoshinobu Yamamoto was. We just keep poaching all the best Japanese pitchers.
Could this guy be the new Godzilla?
We have a few Godzillas.
True, you do.
We have like three Godzillas. I think we need to like spread the names out. Like one is Godzilla, one is I don't know.
Space Godzilla?
No. Actually no, wait. No. No. Shohei is Gamera is the three-headed one, right?
Ghidra.
Yeah.
King Ghidra.
Yeah. You know.
Or Monster X.
Okay. Yeah, where you know, multiple heads do anything. And then Yoshinobu, we could say Yoshi is like Yoshinobu Yamamoto is Godzilla, and then Roki Sasaki, he's new. Maybe we can call him Mothra for a moment.
That's awesome. I'm not
an expert on Japanese kaiju cinema.
Rodan's a good one. Can't go wrong with him. Mm. I like that. Well, since we're talking about sports and all the good stuff, any other trades going on in the fun of sports? Basketball, for example, I know a lot of stuff's happened with the Lakers.
I don't fall, and I'm not like a big basketball guy. So like that's how big this was, because I'm not like a big basketball guy. Mostly baseball and football, but Anthony Davis, Lakers trade away Anthony Davis for Luka Doncic. Doncic, that's a.
I believe that's how you pronounce his name.
And like it was the Celtics, and he was on the Mavericks. The Mavericks went to the finals last year. Remember that? I remember asking like my more basketball minded friends. I was like, put this in baseball terms or football terms. Excuse me, put this in football terms. Like, what would this be? And I got a couple of different answers. One of them is like it's like if the Chiefs traded Patrick Mahomes for Aaron Rodgers. Like now, Jets Aaron Rodgers. And then someone thought that was too harsh and said, no, it would be like trading away Patrick Mahomes for Dak Prescott.
That's funny.
Of which I'm assuming Doncic is the Patrick Mahomes in this scenario, and Anthony Davis is the more washed out quarterback. I just see these funny videos of like people holding protests outside the Mavericks arena, you know, like it's some civil rights struggle. Like, how dare the owners trade away our best player? They don't consider, you know, and I get it. I get it. Like my LA Rams are about to trade away Cooper Kupp, which is so stupid that I have to wonder if it's like, if like they're trying to save up on money on that salary cap space, because like Cooper Kupp's our guy. Like he should have been allowed to retire in LA Ram.
I heard Cooper was pretty pissed about that trade too.
Yeah, he was.
Well, still is technically.
He made a social. Actually, no. The reason we found out about this is because Cooper Kupp himself posted about it on social media. He says, "Yeah, I just want to let you know, like they're doing this. I'm not going to be in LA much longer. I don't really like it, but it is what it is."
Don't mess with the fans. Don't mess with the players.
We almost went. We could have gone to the Super Bowl. That we were. If I don't know. It just if a couple of plays we didn't. If a couple of fumbles didn't happen, we could have beaten the Eagles. But oh well. Oh well. We could have gotten an LA team to the Super Bowl for Kendrick to perform in front of.
Oh, and bringing up the Super Bowl, that's this Sunday.
It's that time of recording. I don't know when you're going to listen to this. Yeah, time of recording, the Super Bowl has not happened. It's like a couple of days away. And I'm going to be honest, I'm much more excited about the Kendrick Lamar halftime show. Although, the funny thing is, I think people are not just going to watch that as like just a music performance. They're going to watch it as like the next episode of their favorite soap opera. Because the Kendrick-Drake beef is still on. Even though Kendrick won the beef in the most one-sided rap feud in history, Drake thinks he can win the rap feud in the courts. So he's doing a bunch of stupid lawsuits that, if he were to win, which he won't, but if he were, would probably ruin all of music.
Now, as a color-compromised person myself, not knowing much about rap, I would say if you have to go to the courts to defend yourself with rap, you're probably not going to win the rap battle.
Drake couldn't win a rap battle with his music, so he's going to try to win it in the courts, because he got really butthurt that Kendrick said a lot of mean things to him, mean and probably true things to him, and he's like, okay, you can't, I want to make it to where you can't insult people in music. Actually, no, what he's really doing is trying to sue Not Like Us out of existence, the 5-time Grammy winning record Not Like Us. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing how Kendrick can get away with some of his songs via like broadcast censors, if he's just gonna like hold his mic out to the audience and have the audience say like the more obscene stuff. He's gonna be like, certified lover boy, certified, and then the audience will just say pedophile, but you won't be able to hear it.
They say it loud enough, you will. It's an indoor stadium.
If you know what the song, if you know the song, you'll know what they're saying, but otherwise you'll just hear like, ah.
Now, since we're all still talking about the Super Bowl, Travis, who will win? Will it be a three-peat, or will the Eagles take it?
It'll be a three-peat, because God hates us. Yeah, the Chiefs are going to win again. Which I called that, like, that was something, I mean, I called it before the season started. I could just feel it. Like, I could feel the stars aligning. Like, there was just the world, the universe was going to orient itself so that the Chiefs were going to win again. And that's basically how their season played out. They kept having all these, like, bullshit, get lucky, or turn around in the last minute kind of wins. They're going to do it. They're going to go all the way again. We're going to watch it happen again.
Now, what is your take on all the conspiracies people have been saying about the refs being in the Chiefs' pocket?
There's certain calls that are kind of questionable regarding, like, roughing. Some of the roughing the passer calls are big question marks, but it's also just like, your teams need to get better, guys.
I know a lot of 49ers fans who believe the refs got paid off. They're still not happy.
Those guys got injured to hell. Like, they got injured. Shut up.
All right, well, since we are wrapping up the sports news, to go into state news for this beautiful state of ours in California, there was, over this past weekend, a shelter-in-place and public health advisory order issued in parts of San Francisco County due to a fire at the Martinez Refinery. Fortunately, no major injuries reported.
Refinery? What do they make there?
I do not know. I just know the fire was releasing harmful chemicals, obviously, into the air. And for the safety of the local population, they were asked to shelter in place. Also, for San Diego County, apparently one of their restaurants has been named the most romantic restaurant in America. Mm. Located on 4161 Voltaire Street, Kisarina, hope I'm saying that right, is the best place to go to take your date. Book your reservations ahead of time. That place is packed. Mm. So, if we want to drive 2+ hours, we know where to take our wives.
I wonder what the business is like during Comic-Con week.
Oh, gosh, I bet they can't even make any reservation and can't get a seat.
It's like one table. You just see, like, a Joker Harley Quinn sitting at one table.
I do think it's a little fancier, though, so there may be a dress code.
Mm. Well, I mean, you know, you can do Harley Quinn in a dress, and Joker's always wearing a suit.
Touché. Let's see. What else is happening in here? Oh, well, we can talk about the entertainment news. Let's see. Oh, new trailers have been dropped. Two of them recently within the past 48 hours. Big ones.
Oh.
One being Fantastic Four, First Steps, and Jurassic Park, Rebirth. Let's talk about the first one, the Fantastic Four one. I know a lot of Marvel fans have been anticipating this for almost, what, over a decade?
I'm at the point where it's like, I'm one of those people where, like, after Endgame, I was kind of like, you know, I think I'm kind of done with the Marvel stuff. It wasn't immediate. It was just that I watched some of the movies that came out afterwards, and I was like, you know, I'm good. I'm done.
Right.
But, you know, with, like, the one exception being Guardians 3. It's like, I just wanted to see that. And then afterwards, I was like, I'm good. Fantastic Four is an idea I just love to see work. They've had a hard time doing it. I think the closest they, well, not including the 1994 cheapo Roger Corman one that was never officially released, but like, I think the 2005 movie had like a, the plot was kind of stupid, but I think the dynamics, the character dynamics were like pretty on point. The only weak link maybe would be, it's just that, well, the only weak links would be like, I think Jessica Alba was miscast, and I think they didn't, maybe they kind of softened, you know, Reed Richards' whole, like, you know, I'm a workaholic brainiac that doesn't have enough time for my family kind of angle. Yeah, they keep trying to do Fantastic Four, and they just don't do it right. I'm glad they're not doing Doctor Doom. I'm glad they kind of figured out that you should not do Doctor Doom in the first movie. It's like, if you're going to introduce Doctor Doom, you should basically just introduce him having already taken over Latveria and being a dictator. But anyway, in terms of what was in the trailer, the one thing that kind of that took me out was hearing Cousin Richie's voice as the thing. I thought they would have like modulated his voice to make him sound more like a rock man. But no, it's just his normal voice. I think as an actor, he could probably, like, he could do Ben Grimm, like, as just that, like, in terms of, like, what his sort of demeanor and personality. Mm-hmm. But I always think, like, Ben Grimm needs to sound a bit more like this. But his voice is much higher, and it kind of takes me out of the movie. It took me out of the trailer for a bit. Just hearing that come out of this, like, pretty comic-accurate-looking rock man, this comic-accurate thing that they put up there. Well, we'll see. I mean, the fact that it's set in the 60s is kind of neat. And I guess Galactus is in it. I don't know how that squares with the rest of the Marvel canon, but I don't really care at this point. So, if they're going to do Galactus and they're going to actually do Galactus, I mean, I think I'd rather have that than Doctor Doom.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of... I used to see more movies a while ago. I don't see as many as I used to. Might make the exception for that.
I do like the world building. I like the cars and the way the New York looks. I do like that. So mm-hmm. that got me a little interested. They really put you could tell they put a lot of work into the sets, into the world.
Mm-hmm.
I like the cars. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Baxter Building looks really cool. I like that because obviously with this Fantastic Four, we're always going to think of, you know, Stark Tower and Avengers Tower. So it's cool to see the Baxter Building really have its own personality. And I'm curious to see how it connects. I have a theory. I think it's a different Earth. Because why have we never heard of anything from the 60s? Because obviously, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. is still around. You know, you got Peggy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
You got... Ant-Man, the first Ant-Man, and you know you got Tony Stark's dad. So I think this is a different Earth. So we'll see. Hopefully it's good. I mean, they got a great cast. All the actors, you know, are top notch and everything they've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully it's good and not a waste of our time like everything has been recently with Marvel.
Speaking of wasting my time, talk about this Jurassic Park movie you're so excited for.
Oh yes, I am excited about it because I do enjoy Jurassic Park. And like very few people, I'm in the minority. I liked the third one, where they went to Site B. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
It was nice.
And by third one, you mean the
first
Jurassic,
one.
Jurassic Park 3, not the third Jurassic World. Yeah, no,
not World 3, Jurassic Park 3.
The one with William H. Macy.
He's great in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, watched the trailer at work at lunch, and I forced Travis here to watch it. Wasn't amused. I'm excited because of how it looks. It's got a different feel to it, thankfully. I mean, they're really holding on to that Rebirth title, so this is definitely a revamp. And I'm getting more of a vibe from the video games that Jurassic Park has had in the past, from the arcade, the SNES ones, some of the PCs, the older ones. It's got that vibe to it. I think this is promising. Obviously, you got a director who's, I think, every piece of work he's done has hit it out of the park. He did Rogue One.
Yeah.
I mean, damn. Like, that alone.
They got Godzilla. They got the screenwriter who wrote the first two. They got David Koepp. I don't know when the last time I've seen David Koepp had a screen credit on anything. maybe Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. But, you know, he's like of another generation of for-hire screenwriter. He wrote the first, I think it was him. I think he wrote the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie. He's done some work for Spielberg. And yeah, so he's like, you know, it's like, oh, okay, that's an interesting choice to get him.
It looked beautiful, too. The cinematography was great.
Yeah, they got John Matheson, who's a pretty competent DP. He did both the Gladiator. He's done a bunch of movies, but like one of them being Gladiator.
Travis, there's only one Gladiator movie. That's the only one we're going to talk about.
He did the second one, but that's I don't care.
It just looks good because, you know, it seems a little more simpler. Once again, the whole point of Jurassic Park is a bunch of people just are somewhere where they shouldn't be and tampering with stuff they shouldn't be tampering with. And now this one is just, hey, they want to collect some dino DNA, and they're basically in the belly of the beast. Looks good. The dinosaurs look great. Obviously, they're going to be all new dinosaurs we haven't seen.
Yeah, they're going to be like artificial mutants or something.
Basically, from what the trailer said, the dinosaurs that were too much to handle for the original park. So Hammond said, keep them here. It looks good. I think it'd be fun. I think it's going to be better than the last two that we saw. I like the first Jurassic World. I enjoyed that one. The other two, I wanted my money back. So I'm hoping this is a good one. I had high hopes. Cast looks fun. It just looks simple, to the point.
Yeah, like...
Oh, our mascot is being a naughty boy right now.
Yeah,
he bit me for the second time, Travis.
Yeah, our puppy's on timeout right now. He's just me. Sometimes he needs that, because he's a puppy, and he gets a little bitey and doing things he's not supposed to.
So yeah, no. I think it's going to be a good one. And both movies are coming out in July, so it should be a fun month.
Cool.
What else is entertainment news? Oh, well, for the fun little scandalous parts, as we all know, apparently this musical that's gotten 13 nominations for the Oscars, Emilia Perez, the main actress, Carla Sofia Gascon, I do hope I'm saying that right, basically has been banned from all publicity and award shows for right now due to comments that she said on X.
I have not been following the Emilia Perez drama. I just heard someone... I remember I watched a YouTube video. It was like someone describing the plot. And then going, okay, this film is whack. Yeah, it's like a criminal... What is it? Like a criminal goes through a sex change to hide their identity as a criminal. And I kind of hear like... I can see why a lot of queer folks might take issue with that premise. Yikes. For me personally, like, I don't know if I'm gonna watch. I don't know when the Oscars are. At this point, the Oscars for me are kind of like, if I'm at someone's house and they're on, like, I'll watch them, but I don't really care anymore. I kind of lost faith in them after, like, Joker got, like, a bajillion nominations the year it came out. I am in of which you and I are in a minority crew of folks that did not like that movie. A lot of people did. And I feel like it's because a lot of people haven't actually seen a lot of good movies.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, no, the first Joker movie sucked. And this movie, well, one, I just don't like musicals. That's why I'm not going to see Emilia Perez. I've just never enjoyed live-action musicals. I like cartoon musicals. Always have. Just never liked a live-action one.
See, I'm much more sympathetic to the live-action movie musical. And right now, there's only one guy that seems to be doing them right, and his name is John Chu. He's the guy who directed the Wicked movie.
You did say that was a good one.
I did say it was great, yeah, because... like, when I was in that movie theater, I had this, like, kind of euphoric feeling I had when I saw Denis Villeneuve's Dune, where I just thought, oh, someone knows how to do this. Someone knows how to do this. I'm not, like, a Wicked super fan or anything, but, like, Hollywood has, in the last couple of decades, has been very hit and miss with musicals. And you just have a lot of these, like... these insecure directors that honestly think they're better than the material that they're tasked with directing, and so right. They try to add a bunch of hyper-realistic filmic stuff that doesn't really work, and John Chu just, no, this was made, this the emotions are high, the visuals need to be as big as possible. He just understands that. And I felt the same way about In the Heights, even though I didn't like the screenplay. I didn't think the screenplay for In the Heights was very good, but I thought it was directed very well.
I do remember when Wicked was the big thing on Broadway. Everyone said it was really fantastic. Like, it's a great piece of art. So to hear that the movie at least is doing it justice, that's a good thing. Because you shouldn't really basically ruin well-known established IPs. It's not, I mean, it's the groundwork's laid for you.
So yeah.
To hear that movie's doing good. Because apparently this musical is not. Except for the awards, which baffles a lot of people. 13 nominations.
The awards are like the only way people have heard of it. You could tell, like to me, it just kind of reeks of a distributor that figured out how to tailor an Oscar campaign to the right people, to where the people that probably voted for it in the nomination process didn't actually, either didn't see it, or they had this, like, special speech prepared for them to kind of color their vision on how they watch a movie. That's how a lot of that works. You know, that's how you get, like, bad movies that win these kind of awards. It's like, well, how did that win? How did Crash win? It's like, well, because they had an exploitative ad campaign.
We're getting a quick word from our producer. In international news,
producer,
a bowl of bananas is terrorizing the streets of London.
Yeah, this is one I saw. Oh, I saw this. I saw, yeah, this got, the Facebook algorithm thought this was important to me. It's from BBC Nottingham. Story out of 4 days ago. I guess some village called Beeston? Every street corner has, like, bananas. Peeled bananas in a bowl.
Of milk?
No, No, just a bowl. A bowl with the bananas. And it has every month for over a year. Read the background to the mystery banana saga. Well, if it's a mystery, there's not a lot of background to it, is there? I don't know why Facebook thinks that is important news for me, but it is kind of funny. I mean, it's from BBC Nottingham, so it's not even like a global. Is that like the Channel 4 news for Nottingham or something?
Ouch. And with that, since we're reaching the halfway mark, we'll be taking a pause to have a brief word for our sponsors. Today's sponsors, Travis, is, guess what? Eggs. Just overall eggs. Just eggs from the chicken. That is our sponsor today. Just eggs.
Get them if you can.
Get them if you can.
If you can.
Have an egg. It's great. You can hard boil them, soft boil them, fry them, scramble them. They're great with everything. Tortillas
specifically. Stick them where the sun don't shine.
Exactly. So, overall, people, eggs. Have an egg. It's good for you.
Hey, everybody. Now we do this part where we just kind of talk about... Tater Todd certainly wants to talk about just something that's, I don't know, on our mind. Just got to get off her chest. And again, this is where kind of the... This is where we talk about what we would do if we had the launch codes. Let's talk about borders. Everybody's talking about borders. Everybody is acting like borders are their favorite thing. And it's something.
Yet the bookstore went out of business over a decade ago.
Rest in peace, borders. Although Barnes & Noble really showed up in their absence.
You can get anime and manga now. So what's going on with all these borders? You focus more on politics than me, Travis. And back to this, like I said, the second half of this show.
I suppose I want to start with a quote from Game of Thrones, and I think it was like, I don't know if it was in the first episode or second episode, but it's from the first season and in the first book as well. It's when Tyrion and Jon are at the wall in the north. And I think this is kind of where you get the expo dump on, like, what is the wall, and what's the point of the Night's Watch. And you kind of hear, like, the propaganda of, like, yeah, we're here to protect Westeros from those living beyond. And it's kind of like, you know, well, what's wrong with the people beyond? And like, well, they're a bunch of savages and whatever, you know. no one really knows. It's just no one really knows what the point of the Night's Watch is, really. And Tyrion puts this out when he says, you know, the only difference between us and them is that our ancestors happened to be on the correct side when this wall was put up. You know, one of those bits of, like, Game of Thrones being subversive and introspective that the, you know, that the showrunners later just threw out the window and didn't care about. I don't know. I just think it's a lot because it's all this stuff about, like, yeah, we're gonna go get the immigrants. We're gonna round them up. They shouldn't be here. And you get all this, one propaganda thing they cited. I think there was some case where, if it wasn't this case, it was others. There's always a case like this that they prop up. It's like, yeah, some woman got raped. Not murder. They don't like to talk about the murders. They love talking about the rapes because somehow that just that gets people energized more. The salaciousness of it all. It's just, you know, it's really gross. But it's like, oh yeah, some girl got raped by two dudes, and they both happen to be not citizens of here. And of course, when I'd seen that thing, is like, oh, so they found out who did it. They caught the guys. Oh, great! It looks like law enforcement is doing their job. Sure, maybe, like, deportation is acceptable in that regard. Let their home country, you know, deal with it in their penal system or something. I don't know. But that's, like, they use that story for this message of, like, we gotta get rid of all the immigrants. And not just, it's not all the immigrants. It's all the brown ones. It's all the darker-skinned ones. Those are the ones we gotta be scared of. And I'm like, you know, we do have, like, rapists that are citizens in the U.S. as well. And they come in all shapes and sizes and colors. What makes the fact that these two were undocumented, that these particular two guys were undocumented, what makes them more dangerous exactly?
More palpable, easier to swallow in your morning news.
Yeah, it's like those two things just don't go together. And I'm like, because, you know, we have a lot of criminals that do horrible things that are citizens, that were born here, that have, you know, driver's license and social security numbers and pay taxes here. We don't send them to other countries. We house them. We clothe them. Maybe we'll kill them later, depending on what state you're in, but that's after a long time of, like, housing them and clothing them and feeding them for a bit on the U.S. taxpayer dollar.
And if they're famous, they get to go home that night.
Yeah, that's true. It's also a money thing. It's like, you have lots of money, if you have lots of money and status, you're probably going to get away with it.
But yeah, no. Yeah, it's, it is interesting what's happening right now, because it's basically the start of 4 years of this. So far, close to, what, 3,000 have been deported. And then you got all the protests going on.
And they shut down the 101 in L.A.
And what's interesting, too, is, though, it's like, this country's really, like, huge. There's a lot of square miles.
Yeah.
Beyond the fact that this is just racist, evil, and wrong, how are you going to get them all? Like, it's too big of a country. Like, you have so much places to run and hide and go away. Like, you can't complete this task no matter what. There's no way to.
I just want to, like, I just feel like deconstructing this further and talking about how borders are stupid, and also the whole concept of nations are stupid. I mean, really, like, what is the logic that prevents the concept of global freedom of movement? Okay, I mean, what is it? It's just tribalism. It's like borders are like one of those things. It's like money and race. It's real because you want it to be real. God didn't invent borders. Like those little lines that you see on a map, that's not what you see when you look at a satellite image of planet Earth. chances are, if you were to look at one of those satellite images and it doesn't have any markings on it, you'd probably have a really hard time drawing where those borders are supposed to be, like from memory. Now, if you have a map in front of you, that's cheating. But like, if you, like from memory, it's like, where is the natural boundary of America? There is none. Where is the natural boundaries of Mexico? There is none. It's not real. None of that is real. America is not real except in the imagination, which, you know, the imagination that this section of land belongs to a concept called America and everything outside of it is not. That only, it only exists because we want it to. I wish more people would think about it, like that. It's like, you know, in the end, borders only exist for violence.
And taxes. Gotta collect them somehow.
Well, there you go. That's like with money. That's money. That's another thing that's like, that's only real because we want it to be real. Really, currency is just, well, currency is not even a piece of paper anymore. It's just numbers. It's just numbers on a computer. And if you have the special piece of plastic that you put in the computer, and it'll tell you, oh, okay, here's your number. How much number do you want to use for material?
It's going
to
be interesting how this plays out when you really think about it, because our taxpayers' money, one, I mean, thinking of taxes, this country's taxes is paying for all this. So how long? You hear numbers where they're going to need, what, 300 to 400 brand new government employees. Even though the new president said he wants to get rid of a lot of government employees and downsize, yet to do an operation like this, you're going to need almost 500,000 to do it properly, to do it right. Even though that's a weird way to say that, but overall thinking is just, there's no way for this to succeed because of the schematics of it all. Because, I mean, yeah, I know you said, like, the whole, why are there borders? We're supposed to be all basically one people under the sun, which is what God wanted. Any mm-hmm. God, really, you believe in.
Yeah.
But also, too, then going into it just logistically, the money, the time, the amount mm-hmm. of bodies. You basically need a standing army. The amount of ICE, for example, amount of ICE operatives you need to do this is 500,000. That's an army.
Yeah. Yeah, and
inside our country.
Which, you know, like, the only thing that justifies that kind of expense is the belief that borders and separate nations are necessary, which, if you don't believe that, if you're like myself, who I would consider myself an armchair anti-nationalist in terms of how I view the world, what if you start thinking it from that perspective, you start thinking, I don't think any of this is necessary at all. Because when people talk about nations, they talk about it with, like, their nation they're from and all that. They talk about it like there's a something sacred to it. My nation has a right to exist. You know, my country is the greatest in the world. Like, you know, this is just like, you know, for me, America is the place I happen to live in. To learn about the systems of government that run this is just to learn how the thing functions. But of course, they teach it to you like, you know, you should worship it. Oh yeah, the three branches of government was the greatest idea ever done, and the separation of powers. Like, they teach it to you. They don't just teach you, like, well, this is how they don't teach it to you like how someone would teach you how the engine of a car works. There's not that kind of logistic objective tone. It's always like, well, this is how it works. Isn't it great? Isn't it great that it works this way? And then you kind of look at how other countries do things, and you think, I don't know. I think that particular method is, I think that's a good idea. I think, you know, maybe the Electoral College is kind of stupid. Maybe a parliamentary system would be better to have, like, multiple different parties actually matter and have an effect and be worth voting for.
Because what you're saying is, at this point in time in our species history, if it's so great, more than one country would be doing it.
Yeah. Well, it's like we invented, America was like the 1.0 model for liberal democracy in the modern world. And everyone else kind of looked. And so it's pretty fair to say everyone else looked at us and went, okay, I like some of what they're doing here. What if we did this a little differently? And we never, of course, we never learned from that because, well, we decided to make it extremely hard for us to do that. And so we have history classes that say, this is how it's supposed to be done. And isn't it great that it's being done this way? It reminds me of like when I had a teacher, I think it was Mr. Doran? In sophomore year, we went to the same high school.
We had a lot of different teachers, though.
Yeah. And I remember him saying he went on a trip that was in a, like, Soviet bloc country. He was an old teacher. And he was talking to us about how he's talking to some random, like, a waitress at a restaurant he was eating at or something. And then the waitress said, like, I guess our communist system, it's the best system ever. And he's making it seem like, oh, look at this person who's all brainwashed. She has to say something like that. That she feels like, and I'm just thinking like, but the more I think about it, it's like, wait, our history classes work the same way. Our social studies classes work the same way when they teach us about the U.S. Constitution and American history. You know, very, very glowing, very modernist about all of that. I kind of went a little sideways there, and I don't want to be the one dominating this whole thing. But I just have this thought that nations aren't necessary; they're a thing that exists because we want them to exist, but they don't have to exist. And I make that sound all nonchalant and whatever, but the truth is that's very radical. It's a very radical thing for me to say because if more people accepted my way of thinking, there'd be a lot of things that'd be done differently.
Well, I get what you're saying. It's not one-sided, the conversation. No, I get what you're saying. Just because at the end of the day, when does a civilized society just really work together across the board? See each other both as equal citizens, because that's the whole point. Like we've seen in sci-fi novels and TV shows of, you know, hundreds of years from now, thousands of years from now, we're all just Earth. Nothing's dividing us. Nothing's there. It's just all one big thing and seems to be working well. Yeah, sure, that's science fiction. But as we've known with a lot of other things, science fiction inevitably becomes fact.
Yeah. You bring up something you said, like, you know, when have we just sort of, come together for, like, a common purpose because we wanted to. And actually, I was thinking about this lately. So you and I are really big fans of the show Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
And I realized something that about that show appeals to me. And like the visual of seeing the Sons of Anarchy is like a show about a biker gang.
Shakespearean with a little Shakespearean undertone.
Yeah. It's Hamlet on bikes. And there's the visual of seeing, like, all those guys in, like, those uniform leather vests with their special patches. I realized, like, kind of why that show is so appealing. Of, like, why at least, maybe at least for, like, you know, some guys, but maybe women, at least people watching that, it's like, see, that image is so appealing. It's got to be appealing for the same reason that, you know, people may join the military and people may join the police force. It's like something about that uniform speaks to the idea of sometimes, and it's like, you know, sometimes individualism is not what it's all cracked up to be. It could actually be very lonely. And I think a lot of people,
brotherhood,
crave that idea, that visual representation of we are all here for a common purpose beyond just our individual selves. It's a thing that I felt like appealed to me about being in the Boy Scouts. In fact, I would actually say I related to a lot of things on Sons of Anarchy from the Boy Scouts, except we just didn't sell contraband. But the idea of, like, we have...
And run a porn studio.
And we didn't run a porn studio in my Boy Scout troop. We have these uniforms with these patches on. And there are little things that make us different, like, you know, there are different troops, and we have different troop numbers, and the Sons, they have patches that say, like, what city they're from and what state they're from, but it all resembles like a same order.
A brotherhood spreading across, you know, thousands of miles, really.
Yeah. And it's like it resembles this idea of like, oh, each person does something different. This guy's the treasurer. This guy handles the weapons. This guy, I don't know, cleans the toilets. But it's like, okay, they're doing these individual jobs because that's what they're good at. It's very utilitarian. It's a very utilitarian mindset. It's like they're doing these jobs because they feel like they're good at them, and they feel that them doing their specific job is helping the group as a whole. And I definitely felt that, like, when I was in the Boy Scouts, I'd see someone that had a higher rank than me or had more merit badges than I do. It was like, okay, this guy's further along. You know, I'm just like a lowly, you know, it's like the prospect versus a more seasoned member. But it's like, okay, but that could be me because I'm in the same crew. We're all in the same crew. And therefore, that could definitely be me someday. There isn't some systemic thing that guy is benefiting from. That guy didn't get, like, a better... It's not like, oh, my boss has a different degree from a university, and that's why he's qualified to do this job, and therefore, I'll probably never have that position. It's not like that. And I think that's the reason why that show was... why Sons of Anarchy was very popular. I think just the biker gang visual kind of... It's like, I too would love to be part of, like, a group of guys like that, a group of friends like that. Maybe I don't want to, you know, get involved in the gang fights and the violence, of which there's a lot of violence on that show, but maybe I don't want to feel as atomized as I am. I want that sense of fraternity or sorority, depending on your persuasion. With a group of people like that. And I want that to be my everyday.
You're saying basically a culture of brotherhood that's not about one city. It's about almost the entire world, basically.
Yeah. And it's
that
not,
culture.
And it's not thrust upon you because you just happen to be at the same workplace.
No, you voluntarily join it.
Yeah. What does that speak to of like a larger, like, missing ailment in like human society? You know, we love to like stand for the national anthem or pledge allegiance or whatever and pretend like, yeah, we're all in this together as fellow Americans, but no one actually feels that unless maybe you're in the US military and you only feel that with your military friends, you know, we're on the same ship or the same squad with, but that wasn't because of patriotism. That was something like deeper and more specific than that.
So you think the idea and culture of just patriotism as a whole is starting to basically become a facade, because deep down, the person next to you, for example, at your desk when you do the Pledge of Allegiance, wouldn't, you know, mm-hmm. put their body in front of you in harm's way. We're just here mm-hmm. doing it. We're not actually doing it.
Yeah.
I get you. No, I noticed that too. Just overall, I mean, it's almost like for me, it's I'll protect my own in the sense of I've chosen my wife, which means I've chosen my kids. I've chosen to have a really good relationship with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I have no siblings. Who cares? I've chosen a very select few friends, including you, and that's about it. Because that's what I would, in a sense, you know, yeah, quote unquote, lay my life down on the line for. Because overall, it's like, I don't mm-hmm. want to die for one, a set of ideas politically. It's like, no, mm-hmm. I want to be home. I want to go home to my... I would rather die at home than die on a distant battlefield. And I'm not saying, like, die home fat, happy, and, you know, all that. Like, all of us. Like, no, I'd rather, God forbid, die violently at home than die violently somewhere thousands of miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I get what you're saying. Like, what the correlation is just... If you're... And also, basically, yeah, if we're going to do this whole brotherhood thing, then we got to mean it. Because the facade isn't... There's a facade at this point. Really?
Well, you gotta mean practice it. And there's this, like, and it's like human society has gotta orient itself to, would have to reorient itself to make that universal across the board. Like right now, I have like what I have that in my life right now with the Star Trek costume club that I'm with, which is like, I mean, it's like an organization that has a few different, like, multiple charters, like, across the country, And, you know, it's like, oh, we just bonded together by our love of a bunch of TV shows, and we love dressing up in the uniforms. But, you know, we take advantage of even then, like, much as the uniforms did on those shows, like, those uniforms mean something to us. So it's like, oh, who runs our charter? Well, okay, that's our captain, just like in the TV show. But it's like, which, you know, sounds really silly to say, but, you know, I think it feeds into that same idea. It's like, okay, every single one of us in this club has kind of a job, has a role, in terms of how we organize ourselves, we do a lot of, like, charity events and conventions and stuff. Nothing too crazy. Certainly not selling weapons shipped to us by the IRA. It's like it's sons. Or selling cookies.
There should be a way to get that brotherhood globally.
Not just
regionally.
How can brotherhood, how can, sisterhood,
across the line. Race,
socialhood. Just how, like, how do you get that? Because we're not going to get it. We're not getting it by borders and geographic nations. Kind of like how it did for the Suns, like on Sons of Anarchy. All it does is just provoke violence, prompt violence, create an excuse for violence, make us more tribalistic, make one group of people feel more entitled than the other. How do we get ourselves out of that? And, you know, the kind of project that I am suggesting, if I had the nuclear codes, that would not be able, even if I just like, oh, you're America's dictator now, you are the dictatorial UN secretary. Like, that is like a generational project that will not be complete in our lifetime, even if we just started now.
I know one comedian a while ago, Ralphie May, said once in his one of his stand-up routines, it's not, you know, race, it's not color, it's not creed, it's rich and poor that's what's keeping us divided, in the sense of mm-hmm. the force division. Like,
yep.
we all like each other's food. We all like each other's personality. We don't care who you bend the knee to for your prayers. We don't care how you dress, what you eat, what, you know, shade you are in the sun. It's more just comes down like, oh, yeah, we're poor. We're all poor. We're all rich. And the ones who usually are richer have more of a sway and
yep.
don't make it fun. That's what his whole stand-up routine was. So I get what you're saying. Hopefully, it's going to just take... And unfortunately, the problem and the answer is time, which I think most people believe we don't have on our side overall time to get to just basically
no.
one full planetary nation.
It's like you would need enough people in power to actually believe in that vision, which...
And also, too, you need a lot of ordinary just citizens, ordinary people just to believe mm-hmm. in that, too. It just takes everyone.
Yeah.
It's almost like... It's the equivalent of, like, it takes one person to really shit the bed, and it takes a lot of people to clean it. It takes more yeah. hands to do good than bad, which that's what the problem is.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying.
I don't know if there's anyone in political office that has things as I do. Even certain like, you know, Congress people who I otherwise admire. It's like, I don't know. I don't know if they can... If they probably don't believe in that. They probably never thought about that. They're like, well, you know, just keep the trains running, just keep the ships coming into the ports, keep the trains running on time. But anyway,
as long as the bus arrives at time, who gives a shit?
But anyway, yeah. Anyway, that's kind of what I was thinking. That borders are stupid, nations are stupid. The well-being of human beings is what really matters. The moment that we confuse the two, or conflate the two, is when we lose our humanity.
I like it. That's a nice way to end this main topic. And we're getting close to the wrap-up of our very first episode. So thank you there, Travis. Now we come to the tail end of our episode. We like to call the miscellaneous fun section, where we just kind of... Got a couple more minutes before we have to sign off. So let's see. The weekend's up again. Weekend's coming up soon. Like we said, you got the Super Bowl on the 9th. Or
yep.
the 10th. The 10th, right?
No, it's the 9th. It's the 9th.
All right. So everyone's going to watch that. If you're not into football or sports in general, any TV shows or books you recommend? I know we talked about Sons of Anarchy a lot and recommend that. Anything else you'd recommend someone to do on their free time this weekend?
Well, I guess to go along with my little theme about coming together and loving each other, if you haven't started watching this show, you've seen it. You know, you've seen this before. If you haven't started watching it, you really got to check out the show Abbott Elementary.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, that's like one of the most, like, without being like kind of like saccharine or anything. It's one of the most like wholesome shows on TV.
It's fun for the whole family.
One of the most like humanist shows on TV. It's, you know, it doesn't prop itself as having like a larger worldview, but it kind of does. It's like, you know, it's just a group of teachers that genuinely care in a system that maybe doesn't care, just trying to get by. And there's a lot, you know, there's some aspects of that show that can be like pretty subversive. But you know, I think if there's one show on TV that goes along with everything that we talked about in like the last half of this, I think it's that. So yeah, I'd recommend, if you've never watched that show, definitely check it out. It's on its fourth season right now. You have like a Hulu account. I think it's also on Max too. Like
also on demand.
Yeah.
Too, cable.
I'm sure there's DVDs somewhere.
Oh yeah, no, Abbott Elementary is really good, folks. Give it a watch. You can watch it with your family, kids. Really? No, it's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
What I would recommend is, actually, going along with your theme about just brotherhood specifically, mm-hmm. there's a good book. It's called Watership Down. I recommend every. I know you're loud. Yeah, I know, because I've said it a lot, Travis. I've been recommending this book for over a decade mm-hmm. to you. But yeah, no, really. Recommend the book, not the movie. Do not watch the movie with your children. It is might be animated, but it is not for kids. But a book I would the book I'd recommend, Watership Down. It's really good. It's a hell of a read. Very much about brotherhood. Does talk about borders. It does. Mm. And just what one's willing to do to find a home. And when you have that strong bond, it's a hell of a journey, hell of a read. Definitely that's on my recommendation. And then, with a book and a TV show, you always need food. Now, where would you recommend someone to get some food to be enjoying these things?
Well, if you don't live here,
unfortunately just for the California residents.
If you don't live anywhere close to where I live, which hopefully that's a lot of you, which would say something about our audience, but like I'd say, I don't know. Yeah, like in normal takeout spots, I usually, it's like, we just had takeout from this place called Burrito Grill.
Very good.
It's like a chain of two places. But yeah, just, you know, solid Calimex food. Sure, have some of that.
I recommend a nice bacon cheeseburger from Volcano Burger in Los Al.
Oh.
That's a great place to get a burger and some fries. Can't go wrong there.
I miss that place.
So good. My parents had it without me a couple days ago. I'm upset. So, that is the end of our show right now. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on our very first episode of Give Us the Launch Codes. We look forward to you joining us for the future episodes coming in the near future and in the far future. It just means a lot to us whoever listened to this, took out the time of their day, because we're all busy. We're all busy lives, and it means a lot to us, to whoever is listening, and for those of you who continue to stick with us on this fun journey of just two best friends discussing, talking, shooting the shit with beverages and food. You all enjoy the rest of your day. As one famous person has said in the past, in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
All right. Bye.